May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 187. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his power to fall. 187. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and we will commence reading at verse 18. Luke, chapter 9, verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, with thy great mercy thou spared us once more to gather in thy courts here. And oh, as we gather on this thy holy day, we do pray that thou wilt come and be the master of assembly, and that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls. And oh, that thou wouldst draw us away from the things of time and of this world, that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above, where Christ sitteth. Oh, as we venture, dear Lord, to bow before thee, we would come pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, pleading his precious blood and glorious merits. Oh, we do seek for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. Lord, we pray for that heavenly boldness to be given to us that the dear apostle so sweetly spoke of. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But, O Lord, we come as sinners, with nothing to bring but our sin and guilt and filth and wretchedness. But oh, we do pray Thou would have mercy upon us. Oh, do grant to us, we pray, that heart to truly confess our sin before Thee and to weep over our sins. One of old said, to see sin smart but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. And dear Lord, Thou knowest those that truly feel the sin and guilt within, and need Thee to grant that heart to weep and mourn over our sin and after Thee. Know that Thou wouldst have mercy upon us, unworthy as we are. Knowest how often we have to plead with the publican, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, as he was favoured, Lord, with that sweet mercy to be sent down, oh, may we have a sweet taste of Thy mercy this day. And oh, we pray that Thou would apply to us Thy precious blood, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And oh, that we may be washed and be made white in that precious blood and cleansed from all sin and guilt. And oh, that Thou wouldst remember us, Lord, with the favour Thou bearest to Thy people. May we be as dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And oh, may we be granted a true spirit of worship this day, that our hearts may be drawn heavenward, our affections be set on things above. O Lord, Thou knowest how we need Thee so much every hour, for without Thee we can do nothing. Nor we would come pleading, Thou wilt give us more and more faith, Lord. We mourn so often how faithless we are and prone to unbelief. But oh, that Thou wouldst draw near and strengthen our little faith. And oh, that we may be favoured like those in Thy word that were strong in faith, giving God the glory. And oh Lord, help us to endure to the end and to hold on our way. May we never be left to make shipwreck of faith, or to have just a form of religion and know nothing of the power. And oh, may we be amongst those that are truly born of God, and that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And oh, that we may be fed, Lord, with that living bread that cometh down from heaven. Oh, do fill Thy hungry poor with living bread. And may those, Lord, that are cast down be lifted up. Lord, there are many things to cast Thy children down. But how often we have to say with the apostle, cast down and yet not destroyed. Oh Lord, we remember those that are tried and tempted. Thou knowest how active Satan is and how powerful he is, dear Lord. Thou knowest the many times he does attack thy children. We pray to be delivered from his power. Thou wilt cast him out, dear Lord. May our souls be liberated from all the bondage of sin and of Satan and of unbelief. Oh, do come and set thy people free. There may be those blessed with sweet liberty. O Lord, do work mightily, we pray, in any that as yet know thee not. Oh, may many be brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And oh, that there may be, even among the dear children, the dear young people, those that shall truly fear thy holy name. Oh, do send thy quickening spirit forth, that thou wilt quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Do work mightily in the dear young ones, Lord, the dear children, the dear young people. We pray thou wilt keep them by thy mighty power from this world and all the snares of Satan and of sin. May they be raised up to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. May the prayers of dear parents and of those that pray for them, Lord, be heard and answered. That there may be those that truly fear thy holy name. Lord, do help each one in their studies, whether at school or college or university. May they be enabled to look to thee for that needed help and guidance in all they have to attend to. And may it please thee, Lord, that they might do well in it if it's thy will. And, O Lord, do help us each to cast all our cares and burdens upon thee. Lord, thou knowest the many burdens that many carry. But, O Lord, do help us to leave them all at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. And thou knowest the inmost longings of each heart, Lord. Thou hast promised to satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. And, O Lord, we pray that we might each be rightly exercised, rightly concerned, rightly burdened. May we not be left, Lord, to just a fleshly exercise and a carnal religion. And may we be truly taught of thee. We pray that thou remember those in affliction. Lord, many of thy dear people and those of thy servants that are in affliction's pathway. We pray for healing and restoring mercies if it's thy will. And that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions. And, O Lord, may there be much teaching in them and our souls be profited by them. And if it's thy will that affliction should abound, we do seek, Lord, for grace to bear it. And that thou wilt strengthen each one, both in body and in soul and in mind. And, O Lord, do remember the dear aged friends We think of our friend, Lord, unable now to gather with us to visit her in the home where she is. Lord, thou alone canst visit her with thy salvation. And others, Lord, that are in great age and weakness, may they be assured, Lord, and may we each, that it is well with us while life endures, and well when called to die. And may we be prepared for that great day of thy coming. And oh, may it be well with us in the remainder of life's journey, and well in the swellings of Jordan. And oh, that thou wouldst land our souls with God. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt add to the church here precious souls, if it be thy holy will. There may be those yet to come and tell what great things thou hast done for them. May all that hinders be removed. Lord, we pray that thou would add to our own church at home yet those we long for thee to bring, and whom thou wilt bring. Lord, do bring in others to gather in thy courts, both here and throughout this land and throughout the earth, that there may be an awakening of many sinners round to come and to fill the place. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to help thy servants. Grant them that gracious anointing, dear Lord, and liberty to preach thy word. May thy servant with our own flock today be the Lord's messenger to them in the Lord's message. And O Lord, do come and send prosperity both in our souls, how we need it, Lord, and too in the churches. And oh, may there be seen in this land thy hand appearing yet. Thou knowest the confusion there is, Lord, among many of our leaders and politicians. And oh, thou knowest, Lord, the devil seems to be raging on every side. We beg of thee to appear. Thou wilt bring them to look to thee and to seek thy face for thy appearing. And oh, that there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. Do bless our Queen, Lord, and Prince Philip, and each of the royal household. May thy grace reign in them, if it's thy will, that they may truly seek thee and set a right example in this nation. Who put down all the enemies of the truth, and many that would take the privileges we are favoured with from us. And, O Lord, we beg thou would hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. Do help the deacons here and give them wisdom and grace and strength, and do bless the hymns they give out. And may those hymns be thy choice and not theirs. Lord, we do need thy heavenly guidance and direction in all these things. And we pray that thou wilt yet work in the hearts of many and turn them from the ways of sin and Satan unto thee. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace. Oh, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercy or of thy truth. But oh, we beg for a heart to love and praise thee more, and to anoint us to speak a few things this day, Lord, in thy holy name. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power, and may thy hungry be fed with living bread. Who help us now to sing thy praises, and may we know the reality of what we sing. And, O Lord, may thy precious name be glorified, and our souls be profited. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking, and forgive anything we've uttered amiss. So we would ask it all in that all-prevailing name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 202. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach our stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs. 202.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We need to ever remember who spoke these precious words. They drop from the sacred lips of the Lord Jesus himself. And never man spake like this man. And what is couched in our text are some very vital, sacred things. And may the Lord grant us grace to venture into them. Secondly, it was spoken by the Saviour to his dear disciples. And what a word it was, not only for them, but for us each, really. And he said unto them all, none were excluded, "If any man will come after me." What a blessed place we are in if we are among those that are coming after him. We cannot bring ourselves to that. Many may think they can. We find in the scriptures, don't we, how there were those that profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus, and yet they only followed him out of curiosity and see what he was doing and how he was working. They were not real followers. And the reason why they were not was because the Lord hadn't brought them to follow after him. They were walking in sparks of their own kindling. But this word, "if any man will come after me," is a very sacred word, really, because it reaches out to the very blackest and vilest of sinners. Those that truly feel their need of him. Any man. What does it mean? Rich or poor? Unlearned, learned? Those that may be at the ends of the earth, and those that were nigh to him. Those that may have been rejected of men, yet chosen of him. If any man. And you know, when a poor sinner is truly taught by the Holy Spirit how sinful and vile they are within, they're blessed the Lord for such a word as this, "if any man." will come after me. Let us look at a few of the characters that did. But before we do that, we need to remember this. None come, the hymn writer said, except the Father draw. And that word dropped into my heart as I awoke this morning. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I thought it was very confirming we should sing that opening hymn this morning. Jesus draws his chosen race by his sweet resistless grace. And you know, those that rightly come after him are be drawn by him. And that so rested upon me as I awoke this morning. None come except the Father draw. And we need drawing, don't we? You think of Saul of Tarsus, what the Lord drew him from to come after Christ. He drew him away from all the natural religion he'd been brought up in. He says, doesn't he, writing to the Philippians, he was brought up under the most straitest sect of religion. And lived a Pharisee. But you look, there's two sides really to this drawing, and I don't know why we enter into it like this. If any man will come after me. You see, it's only as God the Father draws his dear children we can come after him. And the two ways, I would just briefly set it before you. Firstly, there's so much we need drawing away from, isn't there? If we know our own hearts. We need drawing away from self. You know, it's a solemn thing if we've just got a religion that's of self, of our own making. Well, the Apostle Paul in those days prior to the Damascus Road was satisfied with all the natural religion that he had, and he hated the vital things of God until the Lord drew him away from it all. And how did the Lord draw him away from it all? He drew him by his love. Oh, he did. And you think of Legion, the mad Gadarene. He was satisfied to dwell among the tombs, among the dead, until the Lord drew him away from it all, didn't he? And there may be many pleasures that there are those of you today, and one thinks back to our early days, how we were drawn to sport and to take it as a career. And it wasn't until the Lord drew me out of it all. You know, we need this drawing. And that Jesus, as he speaks this to the dear disciples, if any man will come unto after me, he was to set before them how the Lord was to draw them unto him. And it may be he's drawing you away from this earth, poor soul, that your heart and your affections may be heavenward. Well, could the apostle write to the Ephesians and he set before them this word, set your affections on things above. Well, where, and I preach this to myself, the Lord knows where my affections are, and he knows where yours are. And what a mercy if he's drawn our affections heavenward, away from the things of this earth. They're set on things above. And the Lord will use various means to do that, you know. Sometimes he'll bring us into places of severe affliction to draw us away from this earth. That all we want to do is meditate upon him and his sufferings and death, the dear Redeemer. And then he may use circumstances in providence like he did with Job. You see, the Lord drew dear Job away from it all by taking the things that were his daily occupation away from him to draw his affections heavenward. There's a beautiful desire, you know, in the Song of Solomon, what the spouse uttered, isn't it? I love those words. What does she say? Draw me, and we will run after thee. Do you know what it is to pray that? But we don't know what means the Lord may use to draw us unto him. Sometimes it's we may term it severe means, like he did with Job. Sometimes it's milder means. He may use the preaching of the word, the ministry, to draw the sinner's heart heavenward. He may use his holy word. Sometimes as we read it, it so searches us and draws us away from this earth and from ourselves and from everything of time to draw us heavenward. You see, the Lord will have those he loves close to him. But you know, we're not very often very close to him, are we? We're taken up with this or that or something else. And our affections are on things of time. But think of that prayer of the spouse, draw me. And then look at the willingness in her. We will run after thee. You think of the dear disciples. How he drew them away from their fishing boats to be real followers of him. You look at Matthew at the receipt of custom, how he drew him out of all the corruption there was there and drew him to the dear Redeemer, and how he makes his dear people willing to be drawn. Jesus draws his chosen race, you see, by his sweet, resistless grace. If any man, now they're not my words, they're the words of the dear Redeemer himself. If any man, and that'll reach out to every one of God's elect children of grace. Oh, it will. Doesn't matter where they are. I remember dear Mr. Mulvey preaching at Cranbrook in my teenage days, you know. And he preached from those beautiful words, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man could boast. And I should never forget one thing he said. Friends, the drunkard on the pub corner in Cranbrook can be in heaven, if any man will come after me. You see, you draw them away that they might come after him. But then there's the other side to it. We've looked to what he'll draw us away from, just hinted at it really. But why does he draw his dear people away? That they might be drawn to him. You see, he gives his dear children living faith. Now, I know there may be those of you who say, oh, but I've got so little faith. But faith, you know, however small it may be, if that's a God-given faith, that'll be drawn to a precious Christ, it will. Oh, it will. And so there are all those things, and many I've not named, that we need drawing away from. But what are we drawn to? He says, if any man will come after me, drawn to him, you see. The spouse, going back to her in the Song of Solomon, she was drawn to a precious Christ. And what drew her to him? His love toward her. We love him because he first loved us. And if he bless you, poor soul, with a taste of his everlasting love, it will draw your heart to him. Oh, it will. It'll draw you away from the world, away from pleasures, away from all the things of the flesh, and it'll draw you to him. Well, I think going back to Legion, how he was drawn away by the Lord from those tombs. But where was he drawn to? He wasn't drawn to himself, was he? Because all as he looked within himself, all the iniquity and sin there was within him. But he was drawn to the feet of Jesus. That's where the Lord drew him to. And what a blessed place to be drawn to. I believe the Lord had put that desire in every one of his dear children, that they might be drawn to his dear feet. And what does it speak? First of all, of gracious humility. You see, as he draws his dear children, he had put down all their pride, all their self-righteousness. And he'll draw them to himself. So all they want is him. It's a good place, you know, when all we want is Jesus only. And here he says, if any man will come after me. And oh, do you not find an echo in your poor heart? Lord, do draw me to thee. We think of that beautiful promise, you see, in Jeremiah. Oh, I love the words, and may the Holy Spirit whisper them to some poor soul here this morning. Yea, the Lord speaking, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you know, dear Jeremiah knew what it was to be drawn to the dear Redeemer. Why? Because all his hope was in a precious Christ. All his salvation was there. All the mercy he needed was in the dear Redeemer. It was he that could blot out all his sin. It was he that could assure him that it was well with him while life endured and well when called to die. You know, in the dear Lord Jesus, there's a blessed fullness. And the sinner that comes after him will know what it is to see in him everything they need. You think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. What did she say as she looks at her beloved Saviour and she views him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet? And what conclusion did she come to? She says, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely." She saw such a beauty in him that satisfied her soul's need. Everything she needed was in him. And when the Lord favours you with that, he enable you to say, "My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. If any man will come after me." But then, he doesn't leave it there, does he? You see, the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and really the ministry of every God-sent servant, will be, or should be, a searching ministry from time to time. And you see, here we find, "If any man will come after me." Many professors of religion, you know, will utter that first part. They say, "Oh, well, we're coming after the Lord Jesus." But they don't want to know the second. And what does he say? "Let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. And that's something the flesh doesn't like, isn't it? It's like those of us and those of you with children, you know, you often find a little child, they say, "Mummy, I want this," or "Daddy, I want that." And there are many things that a loving parent will know they cannot have, and they deny the child of it. They refuse them having it. Why? It may be because they can't afford it, or it may be that the loving parent will feel it's not right they should have it for various reasons, and they're denied it. That's just to use a simple illustration, but you see, the Lord denies his dear people of things. Let him deny himself. And one thing we've got to be brought to is deny oneself. You see, the trouble is we've got an old nature and self creeps into so many things. And we've got to be brought, and which is crucifying really to the flesh, where the flesh has to be denied it. Why? Because it could bring us into bondage, it could bring us into sin. And what does he mean here? Let him deny himself. He's got to be brought to deny sinful self and turn away from it all. Let him deny himself. He's got to deny all his self-righteousness. He's got to deny, or she has, all their pride. I remember Mr. Stanley Dells preaching at Ashwell Special Services once, you know, and he was speaking about pride. And the dear man, I shall never forget what he said. He said, you know, and he was very methodical in speaking about things and delving right into the reality of them. And as he spoke about pride, and then he stopped, he said, "Friends," he said, "the Lord knows how much pride there's been in me speaking about pride." And you know, we can speak much against pride ourselves, and yet there be a lot of pride in us. But that's all got to go, you see. Jesus must have the preeminence. Let him deny himself. And there may be things as you venture to come after the dear Redeemer, the Lord brings you to have to deny them. You have to forsake them. You have to ask the Lord to keep you from them. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to be kept. Well could Peter write in his epistle of those who are kept by the power of God. The dear man knew, didn't he, in his own heart, how prone he was to fall. But it was only the Lord that could keep him. And we need, don't we, let him. That means to say, don't hinder him denying himself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man then will come after me. Now, let us just pause a moment here. You see, we've got to be brought to deny ourselves. Let him deny himself. There may be a real forsaking of sin. A real forsaking of all those things that are grieving to the Lord. How many times have you may have been asked by a worldly person or maybe friends that are worldly and they say, well, come here or do this and do that. And you've had to deny yourself from going because you know it's grieving to the Lord. It'll please them, it'll please your flesh, but it doesn't please the Lord. Let him deny himself. And you see, there must be a forsaking of all and following the Lord. If any man then will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, they're not my words, and it may be there's one here, you and I preach it to myself, of many things we need to forsake and to deny ourselves. And let him take up his cross. Now, just a word on this, let him. That means to say, don't do anything to hinder him deny himself. Satan will do all he can, you know, to try and hinder the child of God, cease him from sin. Try and hinder the child of God, leaving all and following him. But let him deny himself. That means don't let anything hinder you from denying yourself. And may we lay that to heart. It's often search me, that is, let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily. Now, the Lord, if we are to follow the dear Redeemer, will give us a cross. Each one have their cross. And what is a cross to one may not be to another. And I want us help to look at this in a few ways. And take up his cross. Now, I don't know what cross you've got, poor soul, but the Lord does. And there must be a taking up of that cross to follow him. You think how they laid the cross upon the dear Redeemer. You see, and you won't just carry this like certain professions of religion. They carry a cross round their neck. I know one of my relations does it. And she thinks, I think in many ways, she thinks, well, that is taking up her cross, and she wears this cross around. You see people carrying it, don't you? But, you know, it means far more than that literal cross that man would take up. We sing in the hymn, don't we? It's really a word we need to lay to heart. Whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And you see, what the Lord will do, he will fit that cross to that character, that soul. And they've got to carry it. Well, let me use an illustration or two as help. My mind goes to dear Hannah. You know, when she went into the house of God in that first chapter of the first book of Samuel, she went in with a very heavy cross. Oh, she did. And it was a cross the Lord had laid upon her. There was no getting out from under it. You know, if the Lord lays a cross on you, poor soul, the flesh will shrink from it. It'll do all it can to get out of it. But let him take up his cross. There must be a taking up of that cross. Think of dear Hannah when she went into the house of God. The cross she got. She got no child. She longed for a Samuel. And it was a cross the Lord had laid on her. Oh, it was. And she got to carry it. But let him take up his cross. We know the Lord appeared. And we're favoured to have the whole experience of it. But you think of that cross she carried. And especially how hard it was to her as she sees Penina with her offspring. And now she's got this cross. You know, it's easy to sing, whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. But when you've got to carry it, poor soul, it's a different thing, isn't it? You need much strength, you need much grace, you need much help to carry it, and she did. And it brought her, the cross did, to the Lord many times it did, to cry to him for help, for his appearing. But you see, some of the crosses, well, even so with Hannah and Elkanah, really, part of the cross they brought on themselves. Well, Elkanah did. And what I mean is this, and it's something that's very searching, really. When God put Adam upon the earth, he gave him his wife Eve. The husband of one wife. We know in Hannah's day and Elkanah's day, the law of the land allowed him to have two wives. But you know, that was part of the cross. Oh, it was. Going against the first commandment of God. So you see what I mean about we need to be careful lest we should bring the cross upon ourselves. Because that's what he did, by having two wives. And think how solemn and how searching. But oh, with dear Hannah, it was this great cross, you see. And another cross that she had was, she got this adversary that continually provoked her. We think of some of God's dear people that know so much persecution and opposition against them. And it's a cross they have to carry. Oh, it is. And another cross she carried too was this. The Lord seemed silent to her petitions. And oh, how hard it is to the child of God under a heavy cross when the Lord seems to turn a deaf ear to their cries. Let him take up his cross daily. And you know, that dear woman, you see, what a lesson there is to us here. It's a daily taking up of the cross. Not just when you think you have to take it up. Daily. Well, I come even closer. Sometimes it's hourly. But then the cross you may have to take up, poor soul, maybe, as I named earlier, an affliction the Lord's laid on you. You know, I know many of you throughout Zion, the Lord's dear children that have had to carry a cross of affliction, some particular affliction, for many, many years, and many will carry them right to the grave. But they have to take it up, venture on with it, you see. In following the Lord Jesus, the way wasn't going to be easy. They were going to have these crosses to carry, but they got to take them up, you see. Venture on in the narrow way. We read, didn't we? A dear friend read it the other yesterday, I think it was, at home, at his home. That last verse, you know, it seems to stand out to me. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, the cross sometimes you may feel will crush you. But poor soul, there's no going back. He'll give you faith to take up that cross, to carry it. There's no going back. And may the Lord enable us to take it up daily. You see, Luke so beautifully set it forth, didn't he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of what Jesus said. And take up his cross. But then, and I'll be brief, but you see, whatever cross that is you have, and I could name many, but the point is this, it's not just your cross. It's the cross the Lord has laid upon you. Oh, it is, and you've got to carry it. Let him take up his cross. And you see, when the Lord lays these crosses on his dear children, it's often to bring us down and to humble us. And to make us cry to him for help. How many times do we have to say, Lord, I can't carry it any longer. And it brings you to look to the Lord and to seek his face and to beg of him to appear, doesn't it? Oh, it does. Well, we have the beautiful illustration of the Apostle Paul, don't we? When the Lord gave him that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He asked the Lord, and what a cross it was to him, he asked the Lord to take it away. Oh, I love that case, you know, how many times we've had to come there. I think back in the years past when I had all that trouble with my voice and could not preach on many occasions. And I used to say to the Lord, Lord, if it's a cross I've got to carry, give me grace to carry it. And I'll tell you what it did for me in many ways, and I say this to the glory of God. It kept me completely and totally and utterly dependent upon the Lord. Oh, it did. I knew that every word I spoke could be the last. And it was a cross that was ever so heavy to carry. It's like the doctor said to me in the hospital once. They said if it was your leg and you'd broken it, you could be well and walking again in 6 weeks. But with that, what you've got, and it's touched the vital thing you need for the ministry, we cannot say whether you'll ever preach again. But through the Lord's great goodness and mercy, he has restored it to a great measure, on which we would praise the Lord for. But you say, oh, to carry that cross. But you know, this cross with the apostle, you see, he needed grace to carry it, didn't he? And it may be the cross that you got today, poor soul, you're going to need much grace to carry it. Let him take up his cross. And what did the Lord say to the dear apostle? And may the Lord whisper it to some poor needy soul this morning. My grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And as he gives you grace, poor soul, you can carry that cross. You can take it up. And you can venture on in the narrow way, following the dear Redeemer. Nearer, nearer to him clinging, you see. The Lord is a jealous God, and he will have the poor sinner drawing close to him, keeping close to him. And that is where it brought the apostle, you see, dependent upon the Lord. And, you know, if we've got to be brought to the place where we cannot depend on ourselves, we're prone to fall, we're prone to dangers, we're prone to slip, aren't we? But the soul that depends on him, he will never fail. And he didn't fail the apostle, did he? And he had to carry that cross right to the end, you know, the dear apostle did. And he could glory in the cross, couldn't he? He says, doesn't he, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what it was to be crucified unto the world and the world crucified unto him. But I must leave it. If any man will come after me. Now, may we lay this to heart. They're the words of Jesus, not mine. If any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And follow me. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £620, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Tim Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. 766.
Thank you.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Oh, may we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bite. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. Come up with us this evening if it be thy holy will. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.